Okay, how's that, Austin? All right. The text that Randy read for us is the text for our lesson today. And if you picked up a family news, you will see on the fourth page, I guess we could call it an interactive outline because there are some blanks to fill in there. What Simeon Saw is the title of our lesson, and perhaps you, if you saw the outline already and listened to Randy's reading, then you caught that. Just a little background to begin with. At the time that Jesus was born, every Jew regarded his own nation as the chosen people. And indeed, they had been chosen by God as he delivered them from Egyptian bondage, actually way back before that. But it was after he delivered them from Egyptian bondage that he told them he chose them, not because they were some great nation, but it's by his grace. He had called Abraham way back before that and told Abraham to go to a country where he'd show him, and he would make his descendants a great nation, and through him would all the nations of the earth be blessed, etc. So there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, since Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and God did tell the people they were his chosen. But through the years, they also knew that by human means, mere human ingenuity, if you will, that they would never attain to world greatness. But they did believe it was a part of their destiny. Most of them believed that because the Jews were the chosen people of God, they were bound by someday, they were bound to someday be the masters of the world. Not all Jews believe that, but that was, we'll see one that didn't already. To bring in that day, they believe that a great victor would come and there would be another king of David's line and all the glories would be revived that were seen in David's kingship. They also believed that God himself would break directly into history by supernatural means and bring about this great revival of his people, bringing them to a powerful nation, particularly as we get to the New Testament days, a nation that would overthrow the Roman government. In contrast to that, there were some people that were the people that were the quiet of the land. William Barclay used this term in his writing on the Gospel of Luke. On the one hand were those who were clamoring and some who even before during the time between the Old and New Testament that led rebellions against the Romans and so on. They were called the Zealots in the New Testament time. There were those, but in contrast to those, there were the quiet of the land, to use Barclay's term. They had no dream of violence. They had no dream of great power or of armies with chariots. They believed in a life of constant prayer and quiet watchfulness until God should come. All their lives they waited quietly and patiently on God, waiting for the consolation of Israel and the salvation that the Messiah would bring. Now on your outline on the page 4, you have some passages. The first one is Isaiah 40 verse 1. My computer didn't make those bold there, Isaiah 40, Isaiah 49 and 52. But the passages, if I did it correctly, that are in bold will be the ones we'll read. The others will be some ones that we'll refer to, so you can come back and read them for yourself. But anyway, the people, the quiet ones particularly, were looking for this consolation of Israel that the Messiah would bring, comfort to them. In Isaiah 40, verse 1, if you'd like to turn to Isaiah, we're going to read, as you see on the outline, several passages from that book. Isaiah 41 says, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. This passage and the others we're going to read were the passages that would give the Israelites, the Jews, in days to come, as Isaiah is prophesying, the comfort that they were looking for. Isaiah 49, verse 13, sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. Isaiah 59, or 52, verse 9, the latter part of it says, break forth, shout joyfully, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Those are prophecies. Now, in some sense, you might say, well, they were prophesied, fulfilled. Those prophecies were fulfilled when the people came back from Babylonian captivity. But there's also, if there is an also, those prophecies also referred to the time when the Messiah would come and bring them comfort. After the birth of Jesus, as was read in Luke, the second chapter, when the days of Mary's purification were ended, Mary and Joseph brought the infant Jesus to Jerusalem. This was 40 days after he was born. And in order to make sacrifice according to the law, they brought either two turtle doves or two young pigeons. In Leviticus 12, verse 8, we find that this is the according to the Old Testament law in Leviticus. But while in the temple, they met, and I call him an old man. It seems like he was. I might not be able to prove that from Scripture, but an old man. Looks there, old there, doesn't he? Simeon was one of those quiet of the land. In prayer, in worship, in humble and faithful expectation, he too was looking, waiting for the day when God would bring comfort to his people. God had promised to Simeon by way of the Holy Spirit, and I think it's mentioned twice, if not more, in this passage in Luke, that the Holy Spirit told Simeon that his life would not end before he had seen God's anointed king. Now, whether he had already heard or learned from the shepherds that this Messiah had been born, or whether he had heard from someone else the circumstances of the birth of Christ, we don't know. But the Holy Spirit, the passage says, led him into the temple. And while there, the peasant woman comes in. He takes the infant into his arms and praises God in a beautiful poem or song or hymn. That song, and it's and part of the, what Simeon says is a poem. In some passages, some Bibles will have it indented or whatever it is to show that it is a poem. It later became known as the Song of Simeon, or when the Bible was translated into Latin, it was called the Nunci Dimittatus. I can't pronounce Latin, but that's close. And that means now dismiss. Why did they give it that term? It's not, that's not in the Bible. It's not called the now dismiss. But there's an expression that Simeon says here that would give that title to it, very possibly. Simeon says, now that I have seen this, this, and this, I can close my eyes and depart from this life. Simeon, like all faithful Jews, was waiting for the Messiah, the star of the house of Jacob, and in the baby Jesus, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he recognized that the great King was in his arms, and he was glad. And now he's ready to depart this life. And so the Latin term, now dismiss, was given to this song or hymn or poem. In our lesson today, I want to notice what Simeon saw when he had Jesus in his arms. And then there's an application that we can make to ourselves. Simeon saw the salvation of the Lord. There in Luke, the second chapter, verse 30, our text, Simeon says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Though Jesus was but 40 days old, Simeon recognized, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I understand, that Jesus was the one that would bring salvation to mankind. This is exactly what the angel had announced to Joseph in Matthew, the first chapter, verse 20 and 21. This was also what was implied by Zacharias, the father of John the Immerser. He was told, John was told, that make ready the people for prepared for the Lord. Notice the praise of Zacharias as we turn to Luke, the sixth chapter, where nearly every phrase of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, is borrowed from the Psalms. You turning there? Sorry, I'm not over there yet. Oh yes, here we are. Luke 1, verse 67. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." This is Zacharias speaking before Jesus was born and before John the Baptist was born. And he is speaking by inspiration, as it says here, about the salvation that would come to the house of David. Verse 70, "As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old," just like he spoke by the prophets of old, Zacharias is saying, "from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our fathers, Father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." They're talking about John the Baptist. "To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace." So even before Simeon finds Jesus here in the temple, it had been prophesied through Zacharias that the salvation of God would be forthcoming, and that there would be a prophet of God that would foreshadow, speak before this salvation would come. Simeon also saw fulfilled prophecy. You have prepared before the face of all the people. Now, at first glance, that may not sound like fulfilled prophecy, as I've indicated, but you have prepared before. You've done something before. You've made preparation for this salvation. And a lot of that preparation was through prophecy, which would be fulfilled. The Jewish scriptures were known among many, of course, and all people were acquainted with the Hebrew expectation of the Messiah. Simeon saw the child, and the initial step of God toward fulfilling the Old Testament prophets, Simeon understood that by inspiration. After his resurrection, Jesus spoke to the men on the road to Emmaus. You remember our study in Sunday morning class? Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He was walking on the road to Emmaus when he met two men. They were talking about the things that had just transpired in Jerusalem. Jesus asked them what they were talking about, and they told him. So Jesus, it says there in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 25 through 27, began from Moses and all the prophets and explained what had happened in Jerusalem had been fulfilled in his death, burial, and resurrection. Preachers in the New Testament from Acts on also made reference to those prophecies of the Christ, of the Messiah, that had been made by Isaiah, Jeremiah, other prophets of the Old Testament, and even by John the Immerser. Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 23, and Acts the 3rd chapter, verse 18. Peter refers to the prophecies of old. Particularly, if you remember in Acts 2, he quoted from Joel. Joel, the 2nd chapter, is quoted in Acts the 2nd chapter. And Peter says, these things which Joel spoke has come to pass right now. Then, of course, Paul in Galatians, the 4th chapter, referred to the prophecies of the Old Testament. Simeon saw the salvation of God. He understood that this babe that he held in his arms was the salvation of God that had been prophesied by the prophets. He also saw light for the Gentiles. Prior to the coming of Christ, the world was in sin and darkness, a symbol of ignorance, sin and misery. Christ would bring all nations, not just to Jesus, not just Jesus. Let me say that again. Christ would bring all nations to light, the symbol of life, growth, knowledge, and happiness. This is probably reference to Isaiah, the 49th chapter, verse 6. He says, Is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel? I will make you as light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And when you find that word nations in most versions, that's the Gentiles. I will make you as light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Isaiah 51, verse 4. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. Now there God says, my people, he's talking about the Jews, give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, that's the Jews, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. That's the rest of the people, the Gentiles. Isaiah prophesied that the Gentiles would seek the Messiah. Isaiah 11, verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. The nations, plural, will inquire. That's the Gentiles. Christ's light revealed the Father to the Gentiles. That's what Simeon saw by inspiration, that this one that he held in his arms would be a light to the Gentiles. I'm not sure if Simeon understood that, but that's beside the point. Inspiration says he saw it. Even the apostles were slow sometimes to grasp the fullness of Christ's worldwide mission. Christ had a mission to the whole world. Look at Psalms 98, verse 2 and 3. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Just a side point here. Perhaps you have understood that sometimes in the Old Testament, when you have a passage that says God has done this, and is prophesying of something yet to be done, when God says something, it's as good as done when he says it, even though there may be a fulfillment later. And that's what this Psalm 98 is doing here. Isaiah 52, verse 10, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and the ends of the earth will see the salvation of God. Not just Jews. Simeon saw the salvation of God, saw the light that was brought to the Gentiles in Jesus Christ. Simeon also saw glory for Israel. Israel was doubly glorified in Jesus, in that God chose the people, the Israelites, to receive his divine Son. Also, in Jesus, a Jew presented to the world a perfect manhood, if you will, a perfect being. Here is a Jew that has come into the world and lived perfectly. We might say the glory of your people, Simeon said, is seen in Jesus. They got the big head and thought that if you were Abraham's seed, then that's all that's necessary. And Paul takes care of that in the book of Romans. But in his divinity and his humanity, Jesus glorified, or brought glory, if you rather put it that way, to Israel. You remember in Luke, the first chapter, when the angel talked to Mary, the angel said to her, "Be not afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Luke 1, verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Notice what Paul told the Jews in Antioch. In Acts, the 13th chapter, we have the record of Paul and Barnabas leaving Antioch of Syria and going around on their journey, and they come to Antioch of Pisidia. Acts 13, verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, they had spoken to some people there, Jews in a synagogue. And as they were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God, the favor of God. Acts 13:44, it says, the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you, Jews, first, since you repudiated and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. Isaiah 42, verse 6 says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. So the prophecies, the prophets had prophesied, and it, even though it was not understood even by some of the apostles for a while, the prophets had prophesied that there would be a light for the Gentiles, and that there would be glory for the people of Israel. They took it to the extreme we mentioned. But that glory would be that the Messiah would come and he would die upon the cross for the forgiveness of all people, not just Jews, but also Gentiles. When the Jews there in Antioch rejected what Paul and Barnabas said, they did. They turned from them and spoke to the Gentiles on the rest of their journeys. Before Simeon had said a word, he took the infant Jesus in his arms. Put yourself in the place of Simeon. All his life, he's been waiting for that Messiah that has been promised, that one who would be the salvation of his people. Can you imagine what this godly man felt like that moment? When the Holy Spirit revealed to him that this is the salvation of God, that through this one, this babe, would come the salvation of God, that God had prepared for it through prophecy, that that this one he was holding in his arms was to be light to the Gentiles, and it would be to the glory of God's people. What did Simeon feel like? He felt so, shall I say, wonderful. What a privilege was his, revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And so he said, I'm ready now, to use the Latin, to be dismissed from this life. But our privilege, need not be inferior to Simeon's. Jesus said if one would love him and keep his commandments, he and the Father would come and dwell, make their abode with him. John 14, verse 23. Now the Holy Spirit didn't come to us like he did to Simeon, but the Holy Spirit has come to us and revealed, right here, what Simeon saw, and so we can see the same thing that Simeon saw, the salvation of God, fulfill prophecy, a light to the Gentiles, that's us. For the most part, there may be some Jews here, I don't know. A light to the Gentiles, God's salvation in Jesus Christ. J.W. McGarvey said this in his Fourfold Gospel. Let's see if we can grasp what we're saying and why I've used it to illustrate. Only the eye which sees Christ is satisfied with the seeing. To one who has Christ in his arms, Simeon literally, us figuratively, to one who has Christ in his arms and salvation before his eyes, the world is poor indeed. And the loss of it, the world, appears gain. And he refers to Philippians 1, verse 21. That's what Paul said. It is better that I depart and be with Christ. Paul understood that the world to him was nothing. But to have Jesus Christ as our Savior, the forgiveness of our sins, and the blessings of God through His grace. The question then to us is, how about us? Do we feel the same way that Simeon did? Ready to be dismissed, whenever it might come. As it came to my brother last month. Suddenly, without forewarning, except he may have felt something. But if we see what Simeon saw, and what God has prepared for us, and that salvation in Jesus Christ, His Son, that we have a king who rules in His kingdom. As the Jews look for Him through David, their king, how about us? Do we feel the same way as Simeon, ready to be dismissed from this poor world? I've forgotten the number of the song, Brian. I think you're leading it. 687 in the Blue Book.